Hi, it's Diane. It is Wednesday, March 20th, and I'm here with the 3 o'clock group. So far, we have Joy and Celia and Rima and Michelle and Kathleen. Got a couple of new folks, so let me kind of just walk through in case you haven't gone. Oh, somebody else joined. Who else is on?
Annette Hagavisha.
Hi, Annette.
Hi.
Glad you're here. So let me just kind of, because I don't know if everybody had a chance to listen to the orientation call, but let me just kind of at a high level talk you through how we do these and give you a sense. We want to start with celebrations and check-ins. We're going to go around and everybody's going to take turns on this one. And then we'll go around again and take aim. And if you need help taking aim, I can help you do that. If you're kind of struggling with, I'm not sure, I need to go from macro to micro, all that sort of stuff, I'm happy to help you with that. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the subject for the day, and then we'll all talk about it together and get your thoughts on it. I can do some, I'll do some laser coaching or make some suggestions to folks as we go through. And then before we close off, we'll answer the 4 questions that are in your workbook that we answer at the end of each call. And we're going to do that all in an hour. Whew, I'm exhausted already. No. I'm excited. We've got a full house though today, so I want to start by challenging us to remember the coaching tool of bottom lining. So I'm going to gently interrupt if I find that you're kind of spinning in the story and try to help you to bottom line, or if you can, as you start in, do a bottom line, and then we'll jump in from there. Hi, Laura, is that you that just joined us?
Not too bad.
Yes, it is. Hi.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Joy, can you get us started off? And actually, if you don't mind, because many of you are new, if you can just tell me how old your kiddo is, if it's a boy or a girl, if you want to tell me that too, that's fine. But Joy, can you start us off because you're not a newbie?
I'm an oldie. Yeah, I was just figuring out that this
an
is
oldie
almost
but goodie.
Yeah, it's almost. I've almost been on the call for a year. So So my son Marco is 7. And my celebration for the week is I just had our annual 504 meeting, and the social worker and the teacher had so many great things to say about how much he has grown this year and working through his frustrations and self-advocating for himself and saying when he needs breaks. So I'm just over the moon proud for him right now.
Awesome. And I'm proud for you because you've been working really hard on this year, Joy.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm sure it feels good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Celia, will you jump in?
Yeah, I have a celebration because we, with a lot of intrepidation, went the med route, and it's been like night and day. The school has just turned around completely. It's been,
wow.
and last week he actually brought home a little incentive prize that he won from the counselor at school who's watched him for the last 2 years just struggle. And
awesome.
It's just
well, I know that's
relief.
A relief for you.
Remind
me how old Celia, how old is he?
Yeah, he's 7, my son.
Awesome. Cool. Rima.
Hi. Okay, I have a son who is 10 years old, and my celebration is, I guess, one that I finally joined Impact ADHD. I've been thinking about it for a while, so I'm glad I took that step, and I do feel like I have some more direction after speaking with you earlier. So I definitely think that's a celebration success.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Sorry, I had to get off mute. I have a 9-year-old boy, and I don't know that I have a lot of to celebrate. I'm trying to like get my feet planted. We're struggling with our relationship, and school is hard.
Yeah.
So not a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and it's hard, and we'll be here with you and hold some space for hard because we all have been there, and I think that the challenge I would give you is that the reason we celebrate at the beginning is that we want to get our energy up. It's not about kind of sometimes I celebrate that it's a sunny day outside because it's just about feeling a little bit lighter so we can stay in problem solving mode, because a lot of times the challenges we face are really, really hard. And And when we get triggered and we get upset and overwhelmed, we kind of fall out of that problem-solving mode, and we want to be in this space together in problem-solving mode. So my heart is with you, Michelle, and maybe just think of something, think of a happy thought. I don't know what your blue lash and butterflies is, but something that brings your energy up. If you can kind of think about that for a second and just take a deep breath.
Okay.
And I will move on to Kathleen.
Hi. I had a couple of good things. My son is 7. He's been returned to outdoor recess this week, and so far has been doing well, so that's good. Also, he was having a meltdown at home, and I didn't freak out with him, so I thought that was
yay.
But yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes, is just like not going down in the deep end, right?
Right. So
awesome. So thank you, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Annette.
Yeah, Annette here. I am new. I have, he's 15. He'll be 16 in May, a bit late. He was diagnosed in end of sixth grade. He's combined ADHD, dyslexic, and social communication disorder. My celebration is finding out about you guys. And Brian, I think the good thing with him is each year he makes some progress. He's gone from pretty extensive IEP from like 3 years old to now he's on a 504, which they're trying to exit him from. His main challenge is really trying to catch up in terms of, or my main focus is trying to get him so that he can leave and go to college without me being around.
Right. So you're trying to successfully launch an independent teenager, right? That's
yeah.
Awesome.
He's definitely not, but I mean, I guess the celebration is that, you know, as I've wandered around, he has made progress each year, and yeah.
And you're feeling that. Awesome. Cool. Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura. I am new. I was not able to make the call last week because of work, and just feel like, well, I have a daughter, Piper, who is 7, and my celebration, I guess, would be that I have just taken this step and have determined to carve out the time and do this learning for myself and for her. I've done a lot of reading, and I'm excited about what the program and the support from the rest of you all and all of your cumulative experiences and expertise is going to offer. We are actually we have not formally gone through the formal diagnosis process, but I just feel certain that this is what's going on. So I guess another celebration is just feeling like perhaps I'm getting in ahead of the more higher stakes challenges that are going on. Everything is challenging, but right now we seem to be kind of in a level place. So that's a good place to
launch.
Well,
here's what I want to tell you, that you're all there, right? So all of you have kids that are at an age where even Annette's got the oldest kid in this group besides me. But you guys are all in this place. Recommended treatment is getting help for the parents. And so you guys are here. You're making this commitment. You're doing what you can to kind of help your kids change their behavior by changing their environment. And I'm excited to work with you. And this is going to be a fun ride, but it's going to be a marathon. It's not going to be an overnight sort of thing. I think you guys know that. And kind of keeping your head in the game and managing your own self through this process, whether it's because you're getting scared or you know, overwhelmed or frustrated or all those normal emotions that we have as parents when we're dealing with these struggles is an important part of this process. And so focusing on ourselves as much as we're focusing on our kids is part of what we're going to do through this process. So thank you for that, Laura, and for everybody else. Because we have so many people new, I want to just kind of do a quick sort of check-in. I want to make sure that everybody knows that they have access to the recordings from Sanity School. And I think that those are really good places for those of you guys who have not been in Sanity School before, places to start. So we do a short amount of training in each of these PSS groups, but there's a lot of training out on the website, and there's a lot of training in those Sanity School modules. And so I'm going to suggest as we go through here that you guys make a goal to listen to a module a week if you haven't already. Kind of do some of that as homework. I know a lot of you do a lot of research and reading, and you have a lot of information. What Sanity School will do for you is to kind of bring you up to speed in our model. And I'll, you know, Elaine and I will teach, and Jeremy and I will teach that as we are in these groups. But it also is really helpful to know that you've got that as a resource in your back pocket. And one of the things that it does, we talk a lot about in Sanity School, is this concept of taking aim. Is there anybody who hasn't heard us use that term before? Good. Okay. So I'm going to just explain it real quickly. The goal here is to get really specific on what we're focusing in on for the conversation today. And a lot of times when we do an entire class on taking aim, but the goal here is to come up with the way I do it for me is I come up with a big area and I say, I'm taking aim on mornings because mornings are making me absolutely crazy. And then I think for a minute and I go, okay, so what are some of the sticky points in mornings? Well, the biggest sticky points in mornings for me is getting my kiddo out of bed and getting him started. Because once he gets started, he's fine and he gets out the door and he doesn't have a problem. But that getting him out of the bed is the sticky point. So I might take aim, and the change I want to see is I want him to become more independent in getting himself up and out of bed in the morning. So I'm going to take aim on helping my kiddo get up and out of bed more independently. And I'm using that word specifically because it's a long way from me waking him up to him getting himself up. There's lots of steps. He might need a few reminders. He might need a few motivations. He might need all kinds of different pieces in this. But the goal of taking aim is to get as specific as we can so that you don't get overwhelmed and so that your kiddo doesn't get overwhelmed. So I'm going to go back through the group and just really quickly kind of pick one area, and I know it's hard because you got lots of challenges, where you want to take aim. And the goal here is not that you end up working on this for the next 2 weeks. It's really kind of what you want to be thinking about as we're talking about our conversation today. So you read the email on Monday where we talked about the topic. We're talking about buy-in and motivation. So when you read that article, you might have gone, oh, man, I really need to get his buy-in on X, or I really need to get her buy-in on Y, or she really doesn't seem motivated on X, Y, and Z. So that might be a place to start in terms of taking aim. So let me go back around, and Joy, can you model for us this idea of taking aim? And I can help whoever needs help, even the old-timers. I'm always happy to help you take aim.
Sure. So one of the things that I've actually been thinking about and taking aim on and starting to work with him in is this idea of, like, not being so hard on himself. He has mm-hmm. a decent amount of negative self-talk. So, you know, if this is too hard, or, you know, if we redirect him on something, it's, well, it immediately goes to, like, I'm just a bad kid, or I'm a bad boy, or, you know, I can't do that, or that kind of stuff. So that's one of the things that I'm taking aim on, is trying to have him not be so hard on himself and try to reduce that negative self-talk. And some of the things, and I had a session with Jeremy, so that I've been trying to implement is, like, we do, like, a positivity board every night before bed now, and that is kind of getting a little traction because he's liking that. So it's like, what did you do well today?
Got it. So hang on a second. So it sounds like one of your successes is positivity, but you want to take aim on this issue of what to do when he's got this negative going on.
About himself, yeah. So
okay, got it.
That's what I'm working on.
Good. Okay, Celia.
Yeah, there's so many.
Yes,
but,
there is.
But I would have to say that mornings, of course, is sticky, that I've actually tried to get around by actually making myself a little more disciplined by getting things more ready the night before. But actually, I'd like to take aim at the bedtime routine because that actually impacts the mornings. The quicker I get my son into bed, the more easily the mornings seem to go. In fact, he pops out of bed if he's had that good 10 to 11 hours of sleep. So
I'm going to challenge you. So let's narrow down a little bit. So I hear you saying not just bedtime, but getting to bed on time.
Right.
And I guess the question is there a particular thing or sticky point that's making it difficult to get to bed on time?
Well, just recently it seems to be a little harder, and we're not sure if it's because of the meds or what, but it just seems like it used to be at 8 o'clock
time change.
And then all of a sudden now it's just he's wound up until about 9.
Take into consideration daylight savings time? I don't know where you live, but everybody's messed up at this point.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe you take aim on helping him adjust to daylight savings time. That might be the thing to take aim on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
it sounds like helping him wind down.
Yes, that's it.
Winding down at bedtime. Bottom
yes.
line. Okay. Rima, where do you want to take aim?
I want to take aim on it, the morning routine and brushing teeth. It's painful.
So is it about him? So I'm going to kind of ask you the same thing as Cecilia, but I won't put you on the spot because you're a newbie. But is that sort of think about what are the sticky points? Is it that he doesn't remember to do it himself? Is it that he doesn't do it right away when you ask him with reminders? I mean, what is it about brushing his teeth that you want to become more independent?
So it's all of those. So I guess I wouldn't know where to start or if it matters.
Okay.
But
So maybe you're taking aim on helping him to become more independent at brushing his teeth.
Uh-huh.
And it may be that the first step is he does it with two reminders, or he does it with you standing there and then you can leave once he gets started, once he gets his toothpaste on or whatever it is. But you're trying to help
okay.
him become more independent at doing it on his own. Does that feel
yeah,
good for you?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Michelle. Did I lose Michelle? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, Michelle. Oh, somebody's on mute. Somebody, I don't know.
Oh,
skip over.
Okay,
Michelle.
I'm on mute.
Michelle.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to tell you I jumped off because my call dropped. So I don't know what the question is.
Where do you want to take aim? I can come back to you. So if you want me to skip you and then come back, but we just are looping around with the bottom line of where do you want to take aim?
My aims, it's not very specific, but the mornings are our biggest stressful times. It's not getting up. It's wasting time once he's up. It's not eating breakfast.
Okay, so which of those subcategories do you feel like might be a good place to start? Is it about getting him up? Is it about, you know, the amount of time he takes eating? Is it about, what do you think?
I think it's using the time wisely from the time he gets up until he gets to the kitchen to eat. Just getting dressed, getting
okay.
his teeth brushed, getting his hair combed, those three things. Like, those are
the
his assignments,
time management before
if you will.
Breakfast. So time management
yes.
before breakfast? Okay. Awesome.
Yes.
Great. Kathleen.
Hi, I was going to say mornings also, specifically just getting in the car in the morning because we'll be all ready and all of a sudden he has to go pet the dog or swing in a swing and I'm following around saying, get in the car, and he won't do it, you know. So,
that sounds familiar. Okay, great. So getting in the car once he's ready.
Mm-hmm, right.
Awesome. Okay, Laura, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to take a stab at it. So I've done a lot of work with mornings. I'm not perfect, but I think I want to shift to bedtime. because my daughter is the oldest of three, and so I need her to be able to follow the direction of getting, go and get your, you know, get your pajamas on, and without me having to be standing over her, and just start that whole process.
Okay. So getting started with bedtime, is that what you're saying? Or is it following through once?
I feel like,
I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to know how to tease it all out, but it does seem like the initial compliance, just getting started, sends the cascade going either in a good direction or a not so good direction.
Got it. Let me try the bottom line. Let me see if this fits.
Yeah.
So the transition from activity to bedtime routine. Does that sound right?
Yes. That probably summarizes it.
Okay. Because it's not the whole bedtime. It's just the sort of, I'm doing all these other things. Now it's time for bedtime. I need to get moving into my bedtime routine.
Yeah. And whatever it is, I mean, if it's bath or we're not doing bath that night, it's just, yeah, we're transitioning. Now we have to begin this process.
Cool. Awesome. Love that. Annette.
Yeah, it's funny. All of these things could probably fit my kid, but for Brian, yeah. But to focus on something probably for us, it's morning. And for him, it would be just actually being able to wake up on his own. And it would be really nice for him to be able to take his meds, because what happens is if I don't hand them to him, he forgets, and then
hang on a second, Annette, I'm going to challenge you to pick one of the two. So is it about taking his medication on his own, or is it about waking up on his own? We're going to take aim on one thing.
Oh my gosh.
I still wake up my 19-year-old, just to say that, but he takes his meds.
Sorry? What do you do with your 19-year-old?
I still wake up my 19-year-old sometimes. But
okay,
but I will pick the meds because
I'll tell you what, we have an ADHD alarm clock that has put a hole into our baseboard because it vibrates, it blinks, it makes noise. Everybody else is awake except for my son, so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you take aim on that at another time, and you can always do that, but I think that pick one of them, and it sounds like starting with meds feels like the right place for you. Is that right?
Yeah, because I've already had conversations with him about this. You know, he's going to have to learn how to take them in college and protect the meds, because obviously it's a hot topic for others to want the meds.
Yeah.
So, and he operates much better on meds. It's a night and day. So anyway, yes, meds.
Okay, meds. Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, so we are on page, what page are we on? I lost my page. Anybody remember? Let's see.
46.
In the workbook. 46, thank you. We are talking about getting buy-in and finding motivation. And as I mentioned earlier, the place to get more information on this is a couple places in Sanity Schools. So module 2, where we talk about, we talk a little bit about motivation in module 2 and about the importance of that. And then module 6 talks a lot, or sorry, 5 talks a lot about motivation as well. But the distinction here is that, you know, our kids don't have a just get it done button, and that we've got to really figure out how to get their buy-in and create motivation for them in order to get them to get things done. And I when I think about motivation, there's kind of 3 different kinds of motivation. There's external motivators, there's internal motivators, and then there's intrinsic motivators. And so external motivator might be a reward or a consequence that's going to happen to me if you know, if I am able to accomplish something or if I'm not able to accomplish something. Internal motivator would be, I do that for myself. It's like, I really want to get this done, and I want to, and this is what I'm going to do to reward myself. And an intrinsic one is when we want to get things, we get things done because we want it. It's just the right thing to do, right? It feels like it's the right thing to do, or it feels like it's something that will help us accomplish a goal. And that's the piece of it. All three of these take executive function, and our kids are all delayed in terms of executive function. And so at particularly the age that we're dealing with, younger kids here, that a lot of times we need to put in external motivators for them. We need to really understand, talking to a client about this just today, it's like you need to really understand what are the things that do motivate our kids. Is it about a reward? Is it about avoiding a consequence? Is it about having fun with you? Is it about, you know, competition? I remember when my kids were young, I would say, okay, so let's see how many math problems you can get done in the next 10 minutes. If you got a kid with anxiety, that's not going to work very well, but some kids are really motivated by competition. So part of, because these kids are younger, it's going to be our job to help them motivate and to help them understand the role that motivation plays. And so those are the two important pieces here, is to know that you need to have motivation to make things happen. It doesn't always have to be money. And you can also help them to learn about the role that motivation plays. Buy-in is another important piece of it, which is about all of you talked about taking aim on different things. And as our kids get older, part of our ability to take aim on something or to work on changing something depends on them being willing to participate. So if you've got something, the kid is like, I don't want to get up on my own. I like it when you wake me up, Mom, and you give me a hug and you smile at me, and it starts my day and it makes me happy. You may not have a lot of buy-in to have him work on getting up alone or getting up on his own. But your kid might not like it when you have to nag them to brush their teeth 17 times. And so they might be motivated to figure out how to do it on their own so you're not having to breathe down their neck while they're following them around upstairs so they get stuff done. So that's the concept of buy-in and motivation, and I'm curious what comes up for all of you on this topic.
This is Laura. I'll jump in. I feel like it's the unicorn that I'm looking for, always. Even the conversations with her teachers in all the conferences this year, she's in first grade, they are asking me, we're having trouble figuring out what motivates her. And I'm like, well, if you figure it out, let me know, and I'll do the same. It's frustrating because in some ways it does feel like a moving target, and it's like I'm trying to take the time in each situation where there's resistance. It feels like that time is not available. And so often if to be able to figure it out anew. And, you know, sadly, I move on because I don't feel like I, you know, with two other littles and I'm by myself.
Let me jump in. I appreciate your comment. The thing that's kind of coming up for me as you're saying this is that it's not about finding a magic bullet. And the reality is that something that motivates our kid today may not motivate them at all tomorrow. And so part of this is about playing the detective game as a parent and going, okay, so what do I want to try next? What might motivate them? And what do I notice that they really enjoy? And really kind of, you know, when the school says, I don't know what motivates them, I don't know either. It's like, so what do we try? What have you tried so far? And what's worked and what hasn't? And what do you notice? Rather than kind of looking for an answer. Does that resonate?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. It often feels easier said than done. Like it feels like something, I guess I keep
I often just struggle with my own expectations as much as what's going on with her behavior. It's like getting those in check. And, so I get it's not really realistic to think that it can just be solved and then it's done. Mm-hmm. It's just exhausting to keep.
Well, and I think that that's interesting. It's kind of like if the school feels like, okay, so let's get her to that place. So you're either motivated or you're not motivated. And so it's this sort of let's get her to the place where she's motivated. The reality is that she's, 3 to 5 years behind her same age peers in terms of her ability to self-motivate. So she's going to need external motivators longer and more significantly than her classmates are. And so that's the piece that you look for is not what helps her to become internally motivated, but what it is externally that you can do easily to give her some motivation. So it may be a star chart at school. It may be a high five when she does really well. It may be, reading stories together at bedtime. You were the one, Laura, that was talking about bedtime reading or bedtime transition.
Yeah.
That could be, that's a great motivator that I've had parents use a lot. It's like, well, when you transition successfully from activity to bedtime routine, we can get an extra 10 minutes of an extra two stories, that sort of thing. So it's always a reward that she gets by following through on a particular transition. So other thoughts from folks on this idea of motivation and buy-in?
This is Celia. I had one that I picked up from Sanity School when you were talking about the competition. Because like the other person who talked about how hard it was to get him into the car in the morning, I love that because I had the same problem. But we both like to listen to different radio stations. And so the first person in the car gets to listen to their radio station, and that seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, that's my family. That's awesome. Thank you for that. The point I want to take out of what you just said is that it doesn't have to be something big. It can be something easy. And the thing I love about that is that it's immediate, right? So it's not, well, if you do this, then on Friday you can do X. When you've got a 7 or a 10-year-old, their ability to connect to what's going to happen this weekend is too far away. They need a motivation that can happen in the moment. Other thoughts?
Hi, this is Kathleen. I was the one having trouble getting them in the car, and I love the radio idea. I'm going to try that, actually. but one thing, my son, he's 7, and last year, and I think they still do it, they used to pass out blue tickets at school for, if they did certain things, and then they would get put in a box for our drawing, and at the end of the week they would get lunch with the principal, and I don't know why that was a good thing, but he thought it was. But he would get lots of blue tickets because they found out that he loved them, but then he figured out that he never chose to have lunch with the principal. So I think maybe the blue tickets weren't actually what the motivator was. It was the possibility of, a special time with the principal. So maybe that's something I can bring up to them that at school, that maybe he would like a little extra special time with the teacher or the principal or something. But also, books and video games are huge for him, too. So those are two things that can be used, So.
Well, and I think that, so there's two things that kind of come up as you're saying that. So I want to take you guys back to the workbook for a minute and looking at those five motivators, the PINCH, P-I-N-C-H, play, interest, novelty, competition, and urgency. And so we talk a lot about those in Sanity School, but knowing which of those is motivating to your child is a helpful thing. The other thing I love to look at with motivation is love languages, right? And I had talked about this with a teacher. It's like if you've got a kid whose love language is gifts, they're going to want to get a pencil at the end of the class as a reward for doing something. If you've got a kid whose love language is physical, they're going to want a high five. If you've got a kid whose love language is quality time, they're going to want to sit and read a book together. So it's about kind of looking at different ways of figuring out what it is that motivates and gets buy-in from your kiddo. Other thoughts?
This is Rima. I actually have a question. So I was talking about my son and just getting him to brush his teeth in the morning. And I think you had suggested the two reminders. So my question is, in terms of finding a motivator, would that be something that I would have a conversation with him about? Like, what would motivate you? What would you want that would
but
be reasonable?
Yeah, I think that we always want to create collaborative conversations. And so even at the younger ages, kind of saying, well, what are some things that you love to do? You know, I always try to ask for ideas, like multiple things, rather than like putting our kids on the spot and saying, what would motivate you? Because it makes them feel like sometimes they kind of come up with the right answer. And then if it doesn't work, they're like, well, wait a second. I don't know what happened. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like, what are some things that might be good motivation for you? What do we want to try? Kind of stay in that detective game place might be a good way to handle it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you start that conversation with your son?
You know, I think when we're just spending time together at night, when he's got, you know, ready to go to bed, just bringing it up that, like, I've noticed, and we all know, that it's hard for him to remember to brush, and it becomes stressful for all of us. So what ideas or what thoughts does he have about things that could motivate him to get that done?
Love that. Cool. Other thoughts?
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I feel like that, like, a timer or get this done in X amount of time is our biggest motivator. He is definitely the urgency type of kid.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I feel like sometimes it's consequences, but I think for the most part it's the timer. If I set a timer, he's got it going. It really doesn't matter what the task is. It can be how fast you get your clothes on after you get out of the shower. It can be how fast you're going to, you know, finish your dessert and go get in the shower, or, you know, how quickly can you finish your breakfast and get to the bus on time. Or it doesn't really matter. Timer is his thing.
Well, love that. And so that's cool that you've got that competitive kid who loves the how fast can you.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So where does it break down for you?
That's a loaded question. I mean, in terms of breaking down and where we fail with motivation is when I see a need. For example, when he might come home from school and he's hangry, and mm-hmm. I'm like, you need to eat a snack. I don't want one. Okay? So, and then it's like, how do I make my 9-year-old do something that I know is good for him, but he's refusing to do it?
Okay, so that's a great example. So what you're describing is a triggered kiddo, right? So
yes.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how triggered was he in that moment?
It depends on the day. It depends on the request. But usually triggered, I mean, I would probably say at least an 8.
Okay. So here's the thing. When we're triggered, this is the whole conversation we had earlier about the managing our energy, right? So if a kid is triggered, their ability to function, period, and especially to problem solve and have motivation work is more limited. So job number one when you've got a triggered kid is to help them to calm down. And sometimes you
okay.
can use motivation to calm down, but you want to, whenever you've got a triggered kid, whether it's a hangry kid or an overwhelmed kid or a really complete full-on blowout kid, you really stop doing everything else and you focus on helping them to get to a place where they're calm enough to re-engage with a motivator. Does that distinction make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
So what do you do in that moment to you know, what is it about prevention when it's about hangry, right? So is it about prevention of hangry or is it about management of hangry?
It's management. So it usually the calming, I guess the only way I can get over it is I go through everything in the pantry and the refrigerator and the freezer and pick one. And there's usually somehow he'll come up with something, whether it's, you know, something that I want him to have, or, you know, something that I feel like is, you know, a protein or something that's going to help him the most. It's usually not that, but I feel like if I can get something in him, then I might be able to go to the next level of, okay, well, let's have this with it.
That makes sense. So when you're in the moment, you're willing to kind of let go of your rules a little bit because you know if I can get some kind of something, get his blood sugar up a little bit, even if it's with something you'd rather him not eat, it gets him reengaged. So how?
Yes.
So I guess the question is, when you think about his blood sugar cycle, right? So it's that sort of, is this something you could predict? You know, is there a system or a structure you could put in place that you always have a power bar in the car on the way home, or you put something in his backpack so that by the time he gets home, he's at least got a little boost, or you treat him once a week by sneaking a cookie in his lunchbox and putting a note on it that says, save this for after school, or, you know, what do you do to kind of get to prevent that moment where he's hit the wall?
I don't know, because he has like a 15-minute bus ride to home. They won't let him eat on the bus. So I'm not sure. I mean, it would have to be something that he's able to do at school, I guess.
Okay.
Or maybe.
And so maybe that's a place where you could get some help and accommodation from the school, which is, you know, everybody's packing up their backpack the end of the day, and the teacher says, hey, sweetie, don't forget to eat your snacks before you get on the bus, you know, kind of thing, or, you know, kind of takes them aside or something like that to help with that. Or when he hits the door, you give him a smile and a hug and you hand him some food, right? So it's that sort of, before anything else starts, you're just like, okay, I know I know the risk of being hangry is high. I mean, I had a roommate who used to throw food at me when I'd walk in the door because he'd know that I was going to be angry. So it's about being clever and creative and both management, which sounds like you're doing some great work with the management piece of it, then it becomes kind of, can you back up and figure out how to prevent it? Does that make sense?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Other thoughts or other issues you guys want to bring up and get some laser coaching around?
This is Annette. So
Annette.
For Brian, I'm thinking, hi. So for Brian, I've got, I guess, two ideas. One, since he's a teenager and he's very into his phone, I'm thinking maybe he can get his phone handed to him once he takes his meds. And the other would be he's really into comedians. He likes watching videos, and I'm thinking maybe some sort of reward in for him to share a video with me either in the car on audio or after he takes his meds in the morning before we actually, of course that will take up time, which is difficult, but it's something that
Well, so here's the thing, and I'm gonna morph it just a little bit for you because your kiddo is a little bit older. And as our kids get older, we want to not just create motivation around getting the things done, but we also want to create rewards for participating in the process of solving the problem. And this is mm-hmm. absolutely true for the younger people as well. But part of what you need to do at the beginning of this is get buy-in and say, hey, buddy, I would love for you to become more independent and taking your pills on your own so I'm not feeling like I'm having to nag you or I'm not, you know, because I think you're ready for it. What do you think about working together to try to come up with some ideas of what might work for you to remember to take your pills by yourself? And then the motivation becomes, if he's partnering with you, today let's try this, or this week let's try the reward in the car, and next week let's try the handing you the phone. Because the handing the phone is actually a memory trigger, right? So it's that sort of, you're standing there with a phone, and he knows in order to get his phone, he has to take his pill. And so it's a system and a structure he can use for remembering to take his pill, and not just a motivation. So
yeah. I think
how do you involve him in the process of figuring this out, Annette?
Okay, well, so our breakdown is I have been involving him for years in terms of trying to have discussions with him and trying to help him understand cause and effect. And, hey, we need to talk about being more independent. Do you have any ideas? And blah, blah, blah. But, you know, say, okay, yeah, let's talk about that later. And I can't get to the actual executable point. And it becomes more me feeling now kind of at a loss, because that's all I've done, really, is trying to involve him and talk to him about it. And now it's like, here I am with an almost 16-year-old, and I don't want to say I'm exhausted, but it's like, dude, you have to, you know, you have to, I know he's behind, obviously, but you have to grow up and you have to become invested. So it's because I probably blew it when he was younger. So everybody celebrate the fact that you're online now instead of with a 16-year-old, because I probably didn't do some of these things. I don't want to say, I guess I enabled by taking care of it and, you know, making sure that it all ran smoothly.
So hang on a second, Annette, because I want to just say this out loud, because I believe we all do the best we can at the moment we can, and there's nothing wrong with the way you handled it. And he's 15, and you've got time now. The goal here is to get him involved in the process of solving the problem. And so the question becomes, how do you get his buy-in to focus on the medication piece of it?
Well, I mean, the only thing that I've tried to, that I think may be a motivate, well, besides, hey, look, you know, mom's not going to be there always, and you want to go to college, right? And that's been discussed, but I don't get I still don't feel like I have buy-in, I guess. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. But.
Well, so hang on a second. So how would you know that if you had buy-in or not?
I'd get some feedback, some ideas from him, and I don't really feel like.
Okay, so that's
like
really interesting.
I feel like it's
so,
always
yeah.
me.
It feels
okay.
like you're it's always you. So that's a great place to scaffold, right? So a lot of times there are habits that our kids create, and so if we tell them what to do for a long time, which is an easy habit to get into, this is the solution, this will work for you, why don't you do it this way? And when we have younger kids, our kids want to do what we ask them to do in most instances. And as they get older, involving them in coming up with ideas is something that can be really helpful. So when there's a article that I wrote, Annette, that you can probably find out on the website that says what to do when your kid says, I don't know, mom, or something like that. I think that's what it is. But it's that sort of if they've created this habit where they're waiting for you to tell them what to do because you usually do anyway. And so when you ask their opinion, they kind of go, well, why should I bother? Because she's just going to tell me hers, which I think a lot of our kids kind of get into that habit. If you pause and go, well, what do you think? Come up with and challenge them not to just come up with one answer, but to say, what are three ideas, which is different. And we talked about that earlier, which is that sort of when we put them on the spot and say, well, what do you want to do? As if there's one right answer, it's a different amount of pressure than what are three things you might try. And if they say, I don't know, then you say, well, I'll come back in an hour, and I bet by then you'll have at least two ideas, and I'll help you come up with a third if you can't come up with one. So you're involving them in the process of coming up with ideas in a gradual way rather than kind of putting them on the spot. And I don't know whether that's part of what's going on for you, Annette, but what comes up as I say that?
Yeah, I think asking him, instead of just asking it open-ended, I like the idea of saying, okay, give me three ideas. And, I mean, definitely there is probably the habit or of him waiting, but he's also getting to that age where he doesn't want to be told either. So,
right. So this is the time to do it. So again, that comes back to this sort of, hey, buddy, I don't want to be telling you what to do all the time. And I notice when I ask you what you think, you say, I don't know, or you say not now or whatever. It's like, I want to help you figure out how to become more independent, but we need to partner together. So,
So I guess maybe part of the breakdown is what happens is maybe I need to, like you said, I'll come back in an hour. I need to probably follow through and do that sooner rather than later, because what happens is it drops and then it's like, okay, here we are again, you know.
Well, and I don't know if you're like you might be like most of us that you forget, right? And it's like, oops, I was supposed to come back in an hour and I didn't.
For sure. I mean,
yeah.
He got these traits from somewhere.
It's funny.
I'm noticing all right, a lot of these traits.
I'm watching our time, and I want to give everybody a chance to kind of do a wrap-up on this concept of getting buy-in and finding motivation. So I'm going to point us to page 47 in the workbook. There's four questions that we ask at the end of every class. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway, meaning what aha did I have or ahas? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I want to go around again one last time and hear from everybody at least one aha and one action item. So whoever's ready to go first, just let me know and we'll jump in.
I can go. This is Rima.
Thanks, Rima.
I can go. Yeah, because I'm actually going to have to exit the call soon too. Because my kids are coming home. So I guess the aha for me is just kind of, I don't know, remembering again that I have more control in this than it feels like sometimes. It sometimes feels like it's all out of my control and we're all spinning. So I feel just more empowered. I feel like I have control. And the action item that I'm going to do is to talk to him about, you know, his ideas for getting him to brush his teeth and just getting his buy-in.
Awesome. Love that. Who else?
This is Celia. The focus, I like the whole point about the motivation, really focused on what type of motivation I should be using for bedtime routine. My aha moment was the competition. My son really likes the competition. And that one of the conversations today was the time timer. I'm going to reuse that. We've used it a lot, but for bedtime, that would be something I should start using. The setup for success is to use the time timer in a kind of a competition to get in by the bedtime, and then you'll get a couple of stories.
Love that. Who else?
Hi, it's Joy. I think my aha for today was just thinking about in terms of his negative self-talk, kind of like what is his buy-in or motivation to think that he's a good kid. So I want to kind of delve more into that. I want to set him and myself up for success by continuing down some of the positive roads that we've been doing with the positivity board, the success board, things like that. And I think that one of the things that I thought was interesting, thinking about the different things to motivate him, is using logic. He really likes logic. So we've kind of been fighting his, you know, negativity talk when he says, oh, I'm a bad kid. We just tell him all the good things that he did that day. And then he's kind of like, it's almost like a computer rebooting. Like, that doesn't make sense. I say I'm a bad kid, but you say that, you know, I did this today and it was so great. So kind of trying to work more of that in as opposed to just the, oh, you're not a bad kid, you're not a bad kid. Why do you think
that? Joy, if he likes logic, the thing that kind of pops into my head is the statistics on happiness. And we all want to be happy as human beings. And I think our kids get the fact that being happy is better than not being happy. And so if you were to share with him that statistics show that for every one mistake or correction you make, you should have 3 positive statements or even 5 positive statements to counteract that so that you keep your brain in a happy space. And
okay. So
there's research that talks about that. And so maybe it's kind of like, okay, so it's okay if we say things about what we'd like to be doing differently. It's like, oh, I really didn't like what I did here. If you say, okay, so if you're going to say something that's, you know, feedback for yourself, I didn't like that about myself, you get to balance that with 3 things or 5 things, kind of however you think it's realistic, that will keep your brain in balance.
And is that him coming up with them or me telling him?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the kiddo. We used to have that rule when they'd say something unkind about their siblings. And so it's kind of like if you say something unkind about your sibling, you needed to say 3 nice things. And we would do it. It's like if they said something unkind about themselves, they would have to come up with 3 nice things as well. But it may be hard for them to do that at first. So just work together. And maybe you do it for yourself, too. And every time you say something critical of yourself, you have to turn around and say, here are 3 things that I like about me. That sort of thing.
Okay. I like that. I want to say thanks for the call today. I've got to drop off, but I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Thanks, Ray. Who else?
This is Michelle. I haven't gone. I always struggle with these. Always, always, always. In insanity school, I struggled. I'm struggling now. But what I pay most attention to today is that the motivation can constantly change. So what worked today may not work tomorrow, because that's the thing that I've kind of struggled with along the way. You know, well, it worked yesterday. Why isn't it working today?
Right.
So that's one of the things that was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now. Realistic action step, I think it's to probably use what's working, which is the timer, and try to get him more motivated in the morning. Even though he wears a watch, that's not enough of a motivator, so maybe get him like a timer that he can visually see and make sure that he's getting his things
done.
So hang
on a second.
So
that's a great thing. And so your goal here is to work with him to find several things that might work to help him to keep track of time. My kids could never do it themselves. It didn't matter if they were wearing a watch. It didn't matter if they were having a timer. My job became 15 minutes to bus, 10 minutes to bus, 5 minutes to bus, not with judgment, but I was the clock, because the auditory cue was all they could fit into their brains when they're busy trying to get through their mornings. So you want to figure out what's going to work and partner with him to try different things. Rather than, and it may be that he wants to try the timer, but it may be that the timer doesn't work either, just so you know.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think that's it.
Annette here. Although what you just said brought up a question for me, because I'm trying to get away from being the timer. So...
But we're talking, so let me clarify. We're talking about scaffolding, right? And so you being the timer is more independence than me walking them through step by step by step by step in the morning, right? And so you may need to be the timer if you've been the timer, then the question becomes, what's the next step in independence? Maybe it's just, maybe it is that they do find a way that they can keep their own time. Maybe it's that you only talk to them every 10 minutes instead of every 5 minutes. So you're working up the steps towards independence. It's not an all or nothing kind of thing. Does that distinction make sense, Annette?
Yeah, I definitely get probably weak.
Okay.
But yes, it makes sense. For me,
so what's your aha and your action item?
Yeah, so my aha is, although it should be obvious, is, you know, I need to probably frame my conversations
when I ask a question, I need to try to be more, I don't want to say open-ended, but provide a framework so it's easier for him to answer and then follow up more quickly. I guess this may be a little bit off topic, but I'd like to say it because of what I heard in the beginning is we're all going through many of the same things, and I don't know who it was that was crying, but I just want you to know I have a daughter that's undiagnosed, and I went through a period where I could not find anything nice to say about her. So I don't want you to feel alone. And I went back to, I was told to go back to something like from a week ago and just keep repeating it. One nice compliment, even if I couldn't think of anything. And so I just want you to know that we've all been through this. Okay, and then my action item is for success is for me to think through to model that conversation to have him come up with those three ideas to become more independent because I'm sure that he does want to be more independent and actually have that conversation.
Okay, good, good. Laura, what about you? Nope. Did I lose Laura? Nope. Laura's still there. Did you have us on mute,
Laura?
Sorry,
I had it on mute. Yeah, I'm
okay.
I got it off. Okay, sorry. Okay, my takeaway is probably just the reminder that she is behind her peers in that ability to self-motivate, and that I still need to stay in the curiosity about what's going to work right now. And my action item, I really liked the idea of doing the five love languages with her and using that one as a way to teach her about herself and generate some self-awareness and then also to help both of us pinpoint and focus kind of what motivators could come out of that I haven't thought of yet.
Awesome. Love that. Cool. Kathleen?
I was thinking, I had never actually asked him about, you know, what he thought about or what his motivators would be. So my thought was that I might give that a shot, you know, so, you know, see if having a conversation with him leads us anywhere and go from there.
Love that. Cool. All right. You guys did great on your first call. Those of you who are newbies, this is a good, we had a big group and we got done in an hour and, well, just under, just over an hour. And so hopefully people got what they needed. If you have other questions that come up, please use the Facebook forum and tag Elaine or I in it. And we're happy to kind of jump in and continue conversations out there. But from a calendar perspective, you know, you guys get those emails every Monday, but just so you know what's coming up, next week is an office hours week. We'll have an office hour call on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. The week of April 1st is spring break for us, and so we are off that week. And then PSS will meet again on April 8th. So thanks for being here, guys, and we'll talk in a couple weeks. Annette, can you stay on for just a second?
Sure.
You're still there. Okay, cool.
Yes,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.